Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So I went and talked to my supervisor and another one of my bosses and said, here's a crazy request from the LA City Attorney's Office, the lead city attorney, Paul Paquette. And I said, something's going on here. First of all, I don't have any interest in polygraph and David Mack, and I'm not going to be able to get these other four guys to take polygraphs because what would be the point of something like that anyways? So I got back to Paul Paquette and I said, you know what? Appreciate the offer, what have you, but at this point, we're not interested. If something were to change, then, I'll get back to you. And he says, okay. Come to find out, in sworn depositions under oath, David Mack himself admitted that he never came up with this idea. This was something that Paul Paquette came up with and associated it with David Mack, saying it was a request of his. David Mack says, no, that's bullshit. That's a lie. That never happened. Paul Paquette himself finally admitted that this was a ruse that he completely made up and the city attorney's office completely made up for the sole reason that they knew for a fact that David Mack would not get polygraphed by the FBI. But they wanted to be able to state that they were going to use this against me, where if I were to ever testify in this civil suit, they would be able to try to discredit me, saying, like, here David Mack was offering to take a polygraph, and you, Agent Carson, decided not to do it, probably because you would be afraid of what David Mack would come across as being truthful, that he was involved in this.
When I was given the documents that I'm currently going through in these episodes, I didn't go through them right away. There was a reason for that, and it was simple. I had in my possession close to 2,000 pages of the FBI investigation into Biggie. So most of my reporting and time was spent with the FBI documents. And for you to fully understand the dynamics of the murder and where there is evidence, it really is twofold. There was Phil Carson's investigation in those documents, and then there are civil trial documents given to me by Sergio Robledo, the private investigator for the Walls family. The next piece of information, and one of the moments where I realized the importance of these documents, was by chance. It really was a fluke. I was skimming the documents towards the end of the production of Dossier Season 1, when I came across a paragraph that changed everything.
In January of 2001, the LAPD itself instituted a formal internal affairs investigation bearing LAPD internal affairs number CF010190. And there's an exhibit of this, so there's an actual printed copy of this somewhere. In this internal affairs report, the LAPD itself alleges that Mack and Perez conspired to murder and assisted in the murder of Mr. Wallace. The IA was assigned to the Rampart Corruption Task Force, the same task force investigating the criminal connection between Mack, Perez, and other LAPD officers. So what that just tells you is there is an actual internal affairs report that the LAPD generated themselves that said Mack and Perez were a part of this murder. Is that staggering to you?
That's mind-blowing. First of all, they're correct. But second of all, I've never seen that.
Inside the document, here's what the lawyer stated. The Wallace family received discovery in the civil trial in April of 2006. The LAPD itself alleged that Mack and Perez were involved in the Wallace homicide. the city attempted to block all discovery at the civil trial into who had been aware of this Mack and Perez vital information or who was in possession of these documents. The sequence of events and persons who knew about the internal affairs report at the time when the city was opposing the plaintiff's prior motion for default on the innocent detective Katz theory are as follows. In January of 2001, the LAPD instituted a formal internal affairs investigation bearing LAPD internal affairs number CF010190, labeled in the document Exhibit 14. In this IA, the LAPD itself alleged, and I say this once again, this might be the most explosive piece of information that has never been exploited. David Mack and Perez conspired to murder and assisted in the murder of Biggie. This IA was assigned to the Rampart Corruption Task Force, the same task force investigating the criminal connection between Mack, Perez, and other LAPD officers. It was initially assigned to be handled by Lieutenant Emmanuel Hernandez and Stan Nalwako. This paragraph above is the sole reason I'm recording these episodes of the dossier.
The FBI, in conjunction with the LAPD, we came up with this Rampart Federal Investigation Team, RAMFIT. And what it did was, is I think there were approximately 40 LAPD detectives that put in and requested to be part of this task force. They pared it down to, I believe, five or six. And then there were five or six FBI agents, one of them was me, that got paired up with each of these LAPD detectives. And then we were assigned, there were so many cases, there were so many LAPD police officers that potentially could have been involved in part of this whole Rampart scandal. It was very voluminous. And so each of the five or six teams, the one FBI, one LAPD person, we would get assigned several of these different cases and we would do our investigation on those.
I've said a few names throughout the first three episodes, but starting now is where I will start to tell you in exacting detail the individuals within the LAPD who covered up Biggie's murder per the documents. A lot of these people are still living, still working for the city of LA, or the LAPD, and at any time can come forward and give information about what they knew and when they knew it. Any of these individuals could also clear their conscience. Stan Nalwako was an LAPD detective who was assigned to the Rampart Corruption Task Force, and he was also assigned to the City of LA's Risk Management Division and the Rampart Risk Management Division. The investigation of the Mack Wallace murder IA proceeded for a year from January of 2001 to January of 2002. Numerous LAPD officers, including Detective Steve Katz and Brian Tyndall, were aware of the investigation.
I was told a number of things about Tyndall, one being he was caught with a bunch of cloned cell phones at a certain point. And he became sort of one of Bernard Parks's like pet projects. And secondarily, later on down the road, Tyndall becomes a part of the homicide team with Greg Kading. A weird coincidence that he's the one that takes that gun in that initial search warrant. It's funny how, you know, people like to say conspiracies or whatever, but a lot, like you said, a lot of times it just is what it is. And
right.
It's unbelievable. And you know who I think is on the case right now, who has the case right now?
Who's that?
Brian Tyndall.
Well, let me put it this way. Tyndall's lucky that because his name was all over stuff in Rampart, and that guy got a free pass. I'll flat out, no question about it, he got a free pass out of that, as did a lot of these LAPD officers.
Again, I don't want to overwhelm you with names, but Steve Katz was the main homicide investigator who was given the Biggie case inside the LAPD. Brian Tindall, on the other hand, is an LAPD lifer who worked alongside Katz at various points. So backing up a bit, Detectives Malueco, Detective Katz, and Detective Tindall all possess information and evidence to this case. But those guys are just the tip of the iceberg.
I wrote up a document. My bosses signed it. We sent it over to LAPD and to specifically Detective Katz, saying we not only want to see all the photos of your murder book, but specifically the photo that was shown Big Gene, where he was standing next to who we believe is Amir Muhammad outside of Puffy's car when Big Gene brandished his gun, and that Amir Muhammad, who we believe was Amir Muhammad, that his face was blurred out. And they stated that that photo doesn't exist. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. We've seen it, guys. Come on. And to this day, I mean, they just denied that they had that photo.
In January of 2002, the Mack Wallace murder IA was illegally adjudicated because of insufficient evidence, a finding which is not permitted under the federal consent decree that the LAPD was under at the time. Not to get in the weeds here, but I need to once again let you hear what a consent decree is and what it actually does.
A consent decree is basically you're telling the LAPD and the city of LA, you guys can't police yourselves. So we're going to have to send in these people to basically to run the show and to oversee everything that's going on there, because apparently you guys have lost control of your police department. That's what a consent decree. And I believe at the time when this took place with the LAPD and the city of LA, that it was the largest consent decree ever in the nation.
All right, so life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So maybe you need to get your kids something special, or you and the wife need a scintillating night out every once in a while, at least. So download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in the dossier under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. For lack of a better word, at the time of the Biggie investigation and the civil trial, the Justice Department was crawling inside the LAPD with a fine-tooth comb. And the city and LAPD knew that if they did not follow the consent decree, the police department would have many more problems or heads would roll. In the documents on page 12, a name is mentioned. And I've not been able to connect the dots on that name yet. That name is Commander Stuart Maslin. From what I gather, Maslin has always been a part of the command staff of the LAPD. At the time of the legal filings, Maslin was head of internal affairs, which makes the most sense.
Stuart Maslin is commanding officer of internal affairs, which investigates alleged misconduct. Commander, good to have you on our program.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Well, now, at the moment, the disciplinary process, when it leads to adjudication of some kind, as I understand it, has never actually come up and convicted an officer of what you refer to as biased policing. Why would the officer then not do that and go instead to mediation?
Well, while there may not have been a sustained complaint against an officer. A complaint that's not resolved, or if it's adjudicated as insufficient evidence to adjudicate, meaning we didn't have enough information at all to really adjudicate it, it still goes on the officer's record. Mm-hmm. It can still be looked at if they get future complaints. If something is sustained in the future, it can actually be looked at and used as a pattern of conduct to increase a possible penalty.
On June 29th of 2005, the court ordered the city of L.A. to produce all of the internal affairs files regarding Mack and Perez. Then on July 1st of 2005, approximately 14 to 16 pages regarding Mack, including the Mack Wallace IA, were removed for some reason from internal affairs by something called the LAPD Risk Management. Now, this officer in risk management, his name was Sal Piscopo, and these documents were concealed in a cabinet inside of risk management. I touched on this fact a little bit in Dossier Season 1, but again, why are LAPD officers and officials doing anything to conceal documents? Under a consent decree, it should be the opposite. Transparency is the key. Why aren't they using these documents to reopen the case? Or by law, why aren't they providing these documents to the Wallace family and their lawyers? Sal Piscopo was the assistant to the City of LA trial attorneys against the Wallace family, so this is starting to add up. In August of 2005, LAPD Civilian Deputy Chief Gerald Chaliff issued an order to all LAPD personnel to search their workspaces for any documents or other items relating to the murder of Biggie, and forward the items to the Wallace Discovery Task Force. What a great name. So that they could produce these documents to the Wallace family and company, which they just didn't do. But if you ask me, this was the LAPD closing ranks. This was the LAPD putting documents they know had proof of the murder into a cabinet where the documents could then be controlled. While telling this story, I must get granular, and I have to dot every T and cross every I at this point. At the bottom of page 12 of the legal filing, there are three footnotes with information, and these pieces of information would give any reader context. In the notes are names and their historical significance to this case. Lieutenant Emmanuel Hernandez is the individual who former LAPD robbery homicide detective Russell Poole testified gutted his initial report to former LAPD Chief Bernard Parks regarding the connection between David Mack and the homicide.
Some of our officers, in working off duty, they were heavily involved in the whole hip-hop culture, providing security for many of the rappers that were involved with other kinds of crimes. These things began to reflect a completely different view of some of our personnel than we had before.
Perez is a good friend of David Mack's. Both were good friends of Gaines. And I think the picture reflected that we had some people on this department that were in a coordinated effort involved in some very serious criminal misconduct.
The other cited information gets further into the chain of command of the LAPD in the controlling of evidence and information. This is me naming names again and making it very fucking clear. Detective Steve Katz and Brian Tyndall were in fact interviewed as witnesses in the Mack Wallace IA, and other LAPD personnel who participated and were aware of the existence of these files from 2001 to the present include, but is not limited to, Commander Stuart Maslin, Captain Kevin McCarthy, Lieutenant John Duncan, Lieutenant Emmanuel Hernandez, Lieutenant John Cook, Sergeant Dan Randolph, Detective Stan Nalawako, Detective Tony Pasquale, Detective Tom Witch, Officer Samuel Martin. Those are the names. If this was a criminal trial, which it should be, these names would be the co-conspirators in the cover-up. And again, I will add one last name, and that is the current chief of police, Michael Moore. His name appears at the bottom of page 12 with the list that I just stated.
Over the course of my career, I've witnessed shining moments and sacrifice by LAPD officers, demonstrating great heroism, professionalism, and compassion. I've also witnessed deeply disturbing instances of excessive force, a lack of compassion or reverence for human life, instances in which we did not live up to our values or the expectations of the people we protect and serve. The video capturing a fatal confrontation between Minneapolis police officers and George Floyd in the aftermath of civil unrest are both disturbing and a sobering reminder of the fragile relationships we have with our communities we serve. I understand, hear, and feel the frustrations of Angelenos as well as other Americans. I join you in your concerns about reports of excessive force and officers who go beyond the confines of their training or the law.
If the city of LA and the attorneys who represented the interests of the LAPD had any moral compass, or if they had any feelings of being right and just, someone within that list of names would have come forward and gone on the record. The documents reflect that they all also knew that there was long hidden information which supported Mack and Perez's gang affiliation, Mack and Perez's association with Suge Knight and Death Row Records, and evidence supporting their presence at the scene of Biggie's murder. They knew all the information they were hiding supported the Wallace's family theory of the case. The city of LA's attempt to stop discovery in the civil trial and proceed right to trial without handing over the above information was clearly motivated to keep all of its sins secret and to keep from the court the abundance of evidence that has been concealed.
Some of the photos that I originally saw in the LAPD murder file, as well as did another FBI agent that was with me, and then they somehow disappeared from the murder file, and we then documented that we not only saw these pictures, but a signed letter from my supervisor to cats in the LAPD specifically asking to see any photos, but in particular these certain photos that we had seen, and we never got, and cats denied ever having those. I'm just curious if those photos were taken out of the murder. We know they were taken out of the murder book, but were they stashed as part of these documents that were being hidden by cats? Because we never got an answer. We just were told, no, those photos that you saw outside the Peterson that that showed that had Mac, Perez, Amir, Big Gene, Puffy, that those photos didn't exist, when which is just ridiculous because we know they existed. We saw them.
The information contained in the last few minutes of this audio, it's not legal conjecture or nuance. It is lying. It is covering up. It is a defining piece of information that gives the Wallace family every reason to refile this case. This information also, if found out at trial in the civil case, would have won the Wallace family hundreds of millions of dollars. The sadness I still have reading these names, the sadness I still have that these actual files exist, not only within the LAPD, but with all the city attorneys, makes me reflect on just how corrupt our country is when it comes to justice. I guess when I did season one, I had optimism that my journalism, the courage of Phil Carson, would move the needle, but it didn't. So here I am trying again. Now starting on page 15 of the document, this is where all the evidence is listed down in a bulletproof manner inside the document. And if you think a document that was created by the LAPD that stated Mack and Perez were part of a murder was staggering, wait till you hear the additional 15 items that were never chased down, that were never examined. The evidence was just buried. It was ignored. Next time on The Dossier.